Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And Mayor D.C. Reeves, who we haven't talked to, I think, in about 3 weeks because of various scheduling and or travel issues, is back with us. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Glad to be back. Yeah, I left on Election Day. It feels like I've been gone a year, but I promise it hasn't been. It's been about 10 days or so.
Hey, good to have you. Good to have you. So I know part of your trip was you wanted to see the Seminoles game for the first game of the season over in Europe. So congratulations on your Seminoles' fine performance in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, no one can question my loyalty, at least. they might be able to after the first two games of the season. I don't know how many more I'll be watching at this rate, but I got a lot of things to do around here. I can't be wasting 3 hours and giving myself that kind of stress.
You could be, attending like affordable housing committee meetings and, anything
harder,
but watching the Seminoles lose.
Yeah.
Well, so, exactly. No, how was the trip? Seriously, I mean, you were obviously over there partly for fun, but also partly for business because American Magic is competing in a variety of regattas in Barcelona, Spain. And I don't know, what did you see? What did you learn? What was it like to see that beautiful Pensacola insignia flying on the sail?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, yeah, the first part was just for fun, but the second part was great, really for lots of reasons. One, to be able to, connect with the team ownership, which, of course, they don't live in Pensacola. I don't get to do that as often. So I had a great conversation with Doug DeVos. Also, get the team leadership. Remember, they've been over, it feels like yesterday, but they've been over there for a year and a half. Since they've left Pensacola, all our team members and all that. They have 160 people on base right now. And then third, what was really interesting is I got to see their base, which is temporary in nature, but it's probably as close to a smaller one of what the permanent headquarters will look like. So to get to see that in person, and we're just pointing out, hey, that 3D printer's coming with us, all those sales, this mezzanine, even some of the items that will be coming to Pensacola. That was cool to see, kind of see it in real life and not on a drawing. So. But it's awesome. I mean, I tell folks all the time, you go see the operation of American Magic, you can't oversell it. Like the technology, the manpower, I would say the best sports apples to apples would be running probably 1.5 or 2 F1 teams. That's what it reminds me of in terms of like how immersed in all the technology and innovation that goes into the project.
Well, I mean, you name dropped the DeVos, but I mean, that's the Amway family. These are billionaires. They own the Heat or the Magic, sorry, Magic, right? Anyway, sailing at this level is a billionaire's game. And clearly that level of technology is evident. And, one of the things I think that the sort of average people, myself included, what has captivated us about the American Magic concept in Pensacola was maybe we can get the World Cup here. Or the America's Cup here.
Right.
Just getting the team here with the technology and the jobs and the opportunity to cultivate other teams and to be a teaching facility, like, that's the story. If we never get anything else, that's still a great story.
Absolutely. And again, it's very real that you talk to team members, they love Pensacola. That was kind of the cool part. It kind of, telling me, I won't say who, but in confidence, like, man, we're ready to get over to back home, to Pensacola. Yeah. They've been in Barcelona for a year and a half. And whether it's manufacturing, I mean, there's so many opportunities outside of just the front-facing sailing tournament. There's so many opportunities to help boost our community. That's what I love about this project. It really is amazing. And they're excited to be back. We're certainly excited to have them. And you know what? If we could host an America's Cup, it would only be the biggest event in 500 years here.
No, I'm hopeful, obviously, and they've had a bit of a mixed record, but at this point, it's mostly avoiding elimination, and we'll obviously see what happens in the future. One couple of notes I want to talk about the airport for a second. One thing is I really like the Get Smart doors. The exit lane that you now go through, the series of, open and close and shut right behind you doors, I love it. That seems to be a very efficient, whereas the other system, the walking around and the windy corridor, that seemed to be inefficient. This seems to be more secure, and this will create space for the queuing line for TSA, right?
Yeah, sorry, say that one more time.
This is more efficient, more secure, and it'll create queuing space for the TSA line.
Right, yes, exactly. Well, and you know, like everything else, it's more expensive than you would ever imagine doors would be.
Right.
But it's going to create more space, make it easier getting in and out. You know, I forget the exact number Matt tells me, but how many thousands of people it can get through in an hour. And then all the crazy technology you need in an airport, like throwing an item. If someone was trying to throw an item into the secure area, that, you know, all the technology that goes with those doorways. I learned a lot about it when I saw them install it. And it's something you may not notice when you go through, but you're safer because of it. It's easier. And like you said, probably most importantly, front facing to the citizen is more room for TSA to get their job done.
I really do think, though, that the theme music playing while you're in the corridor should be the Get Smart music. And if you don't do that, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, we can do that.
Good news, I had great experiences at the airport. Bad news, I saw all the trees missing at the airport. We knew this was coming. I know buildings cost trees. I get it. But what has been done, or what is there offsets? Is this the tree planting trust fund? Like, all of the trees that went away around the new parking area, around the new ST projects, the storage facilities that were torn down. When you drive 12th Avenue now, it just looks like a hurricane came through. What's been done or is going to be done to, I don't know, replant, replace, shift elsewhere? Tell me what's happening here.
Yeah, so obviously that's a process that took place years and years ago, right? When the agreement came through for Hangar 3, and I believe you probably be more on top of it at that time than I was of, with all the property acquisition that took place back there to have the property to put the hangars, you know, in the mid-2010s.
Right.
That was, like you said, it was a long time coming. But I don't know that we're going back there and saying, hey, this tree down, this tree up. But what I'll say as a whole is, we've done everything that we can. Number one, I thought a big step in this administration was actually spending tree trust fund money. We used to argue about it a lot and not spend any of it. And so we've started that process. And secondly, we got the biggest tree grant in the history of the city, about $1 million for urban forestry that allows us to use it more specific to lower income areas that lack tree canopy and shade when they walk or bike to work or to a playground. We certainly have, I would say, not dependent upon what you're speaking of in the specific project. We certainly are motivated and have been proactive in trying to do everything that we can to build up our tree canopy across the city. But as it pertains to the agreement and how all that operated when trees went down, that is nothing that's ever hit my desk. And I don't even know that it was Mayor Robinson's. I would have to go back and look. It's been quite a while since that decision was made.
I think what it was is, and again, there's nothing to be done about it now particularly, and I think it was just more of a shock to me, even though I knew it was coming, to see all three of those projects simultaneously remove so many of these gorgeous trees. And what I was also thinking is, like, you know, when Baptist built their hospital, they built it around the two groves. And when Ascension Sacred Heart did their medical facility down south of there just a block or two, they kept one line of trees on 12th Avenue. And I guess I was kind of hoping that something more like that had happened, which, of course, it didn't. It was totally clear cut. I did have listeners suggest, though, that maybe the giant blank space that's going to be the side of buildings 3 and 4 eventually seems like an opportunity for a mural space that would be publicly visible, maybe even paintings of trees. You know, it's not as good as real trees, but it might be something. So that might be something to pursue long term. You're meeting with ST, but you're meeting tomorrow, right? So we won't know anything until after that meeting about the Chilean workers and other concerns about local hires and all that.
Right, exactly. And again, I want to reshift focus. There's a lot of conjecture out there about, well, I thought this and then I changed my mind. What I'm hyper focused on with ST is, what are your obligations to do what you say you're going to do? Where does that stand? And where do we need to be in workforce development as a community? That's what I'm focused on. This is not, I was asked last week, should this be a public meeting? No, it shouldn't be a public meeting. What we're trying to do is get an outcome, get information from them and get an outcome. This is not the same way every time we meet with American Magic, it's not a public meeting. Or if we have an internal issue, it's not a public meeting. You know, we're trying to get something that's a net positive for the community and just make sure that our partner's doing what they say they're going to do and see where we stand. And certainly we'll be reporting back to that. And when there's public comment, needed on the topic, certainly there's already been a lot of public comment. And and I'm sure we'll continue to have public conversation about the project moving forward.
I already know there are going to be things we're not going to get to today, but I did have two that I wanted to try to get to. One is the old medical facility on Palafox. That had come kind of in the news as a being for sale. Is there any interest? What's the future of that property? Because that's just been sitting there blighted for as long as I've lived here, 10 years.
Yeah, it's the unfortunate situation where an out-of-town buyer buys a property and then is now, has the gall to market it as, well, the city's about to put a bunch of money into Hollis C. Williams, and that's why it's worth all this money. So what I can tell you today is it's in violation of code, and I don't know what the fines are or what because plywood and broken windows is not a permanent fix. That's a temporary fix. So I do know it's out of compliance with code. That doesn't mean anything for the sale. And certainly, we're looking at our dollars for the grant that with the $30 million we got for Hollis C. Williams does allow us to acquire things. So I would never say never about anything, but not at the exorbitant price that's being listed now. So I know there's been conversations over the years with this buyer, and the price has fluctuated wildly. If we get to something reasonable or within reason, certainly I'd entertain it. But we're looking at other surrounding property, potential expansion of the lake there, the pond, Long Hollow, and we'll see what happens.
Last of the substantial question for the day is HCA Florida West Hospital has built a new parking structure. I think we're the first to report on it. When you drive up University, you can't miss it. It's giant. It's 6 stories tall. It's going to have 600 new spaces. It's all going to be free, some for public, some for doctors, some for employees. But 600 spaces, and the price tag is $26 million. And when you do the math, that's $43,000 a space. That's 50% more than even the $30,000 sticker shock that you guys had been bandying about for a while. What does that price tag mean for the future of any parking structure anywhere near downtown?
Yeah. I said earlier, no price surprises you anymore. That's an outrageous number. But I'll tell you where we are is we're looking at, I believe I'll have something on my desk in October, that we're going to hire a firm to give us kind of a feasibility study of a potential downtown garage and multiple sets or locations, sizes. Would there be first floor retail on the front, which would obviously add to the expense or not? So we're going to kind of get some experts in the room and kind of say, all right, well, this is what a potential garage downtown would look like. And truly, it's not. I know it sounds convenient on the parking topic. We wouldn't be having this conversation if there wasn't real revenue coming from parking. So, that allows us to start having conversations. And so that's happening now, in terms of just really, I hate to call it a feasibility study. It's a little more detailed than that, but it's kind of a feasibility / schematic study about what a garage downtown would look.
But I just couldn't believe that number, $43,000 a space. It's just, it's just unbelievable.
Exactly.
All right, we always like to end off with a lightning round. Quick questions for you. When you're texting, are you two thumbs, index finger, two index finger, or as some monsters do it, one index finger and one thumb?
I'm a single thumb.
One thumb.
One eye on the screen and one eye on the other screen.
I gotcha. Swimming, essential skill or nice skill to have?
I mean, I grew up in Perdido Key. I think it's an essential. It's absolutely essential, isn't it? Is it nice to have?
I tend to think so as well, but we talked about it because not everybody can swim, obviously. And then the last one is, tell me something like ranch or barbecue or whatever that you always try to get the last little tiny bit of out of the container because you feel like they're robbing you if you don't get it all.
Yeah, I've been tried and true 40 years now, or I guess maybe 36 years now of, fast food chicken is barbecue always. No deviations, maybe a little buffalo sauce, but a barbecue sauce would definitely be everything you can get out of the little square container.
Okay, so you're scraping the container out with the chicken or the whatever it is that you would dip in it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Be honest. You're in public right now. If there's a little left after you got the chicken done, do you lick in there?
Depends on how hungry I am.
That's a man's answer. I'll take that. That's allowable.
I'll never say never, but I would say it's unlikely.
People found it a little bit weird that I sometimes lick the butter wrapper after I unroll the stick of butter. But, you know, everybody's got their thing. Mayor D.C. Reese, the mayor of Pensacola, we'll talk to you again next week. Sir, as always, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.